Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I'm your host, Dr. Tremaine Clarity. This podcast is focused on all aspects in education that are happening right here in the Roane Area School District. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I'm Marcy Pfeiffer-Soderblom, VASD's Public Information Officer, here with In the Loop with the Soup host and VASD Superintendent, Dr. Tremaine Clarity.
How you doing, Marcy?
I'm doing wonderful. And not only is he VASD Superintendent, he's also the 2026 Wisconsin Superintendent of the Year. So we get to say that for a full year.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate the honor.
You're welcome. Well, today's topic is advanced learning, and we are joined by our Executive Director of Academic Services, Ms. Amy Engelkins, to share with our community about what advanced learning is all about and how VASD approaches it.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Marcy, and welcome to In the Loop of the Soup. I am really excited to talk about another dynamic topic in the Roane Area School District, and that's advanced learning. I'm excited to have our guest, and that's Amy Engelkins. Amy, as Marcy stated, serves as our Executive Director of Academic Services. And as you think about the Roane School District, the two sides of the house, we have our academic side of the house and our operations. Amy, rightfully so, leads the work on the academic side of the house, along with her colleague, Chad Wheezy, on the operations side. So we're very honored to have you here, and welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Clarity, and really appreciate the opportunity to be here. I know you've had many of your own interviews as Superintendent of the Year, so congratulations on that as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much, and I just want to put out to the community, as I say, this is definitely a collective honor and just indicative of the great work that we have from our staff. Our students are just amazing, and our community has been really solid partners with us as we continue our journey for academic excellence. So as we think about academic excellence, we're going to move into advanced learning, but I think it's appropriate for our audience to know the person behind the work. All of us are, we come here and professional, but we're humans first. And there's always a journey or that calling that brought us into education. So Amy, if you could just bring us back as far, you can go to infant if you want to, or you can start on Tuesday if you want to.
That's great. I know we have a limited time today, Marcy, so we'll try to keep it brief, but appreciate the opportunity to share. I grew up in the Midwest, right across the river in Iowa. I myself was a first-generation college student, so I knew from an early age just how important education was to me and my family, and yet it wasn't a system that my family had spent a lot of time navigating. And I was grateful to the educators and those in my life who helped me to move along in that journey to attend college, and recognized in that I too wanted to be an educator and help others along the way. When I decided to become a teacher, I took my first teaching job in the city of Philadelphia, and that quickly helped me think about education in a whole new light.
So I'm gonna pause for our audience there. You said the Philly.
That is correct.
All right.
Philadelphia. City of brotherly love.
City of brotherly love. Well, you learn a lot of brotherly love and how to be nice.
Yes. Philadelphia is a very special place. For me, as a first-year teacher, I definitely gained a different sense of urgency around the importance of education. Right. When I was there, I recognized that this was more than just teaching math. I was a math teacher, but also recognizing the opportunities and the doors that education would open for my students. And so while I always wanted to be an educator, my time in Philadelphia helped really solidify an equity lens and recognizing the opportunity that came with education and our duty and our responsibility to make that available to all.
Where was your undergrad work again?
St. Mary's University in Winona, Minnesota.
Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So how did you get from Winona, Minnesota to Philly?
I was interested in a new adventure. So I had grown up, as I mentioned, in Iowa. I'd gone to school in Minnesota and got accepted to the University of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And so while I was attending the University of Pennsylvania, then in Philadelphia, I took my first teaching job. So it was a very different environment than I had grown up in, but a very rich experience that I think really shaped who I became as an educator.
You're the only person I've ever heard of slide that you went to University of Penn so modestly into a conversation. So talk a little bit about that. Talk about the big times of University of Penn.
having gone to a small liberal arts school for undergrad, obviously the University of Pennsylvania was a much larger school,
yeah,
a much more diverse setting, and obviously a research school as well. So really appreciated, while UPenn is not the most diverse university, certainly more diverse than the schools that I had attended previously, and really appreciated the experiences to learn from others in that setting and just be in a space that really prided itself on a world-class education, right? Seeing the statue of Ben Franklin and knowing that you're going to the first university that was founded in our country is a pretty special experience. And again, just solidified for me the importance of making that opportunity available to any student who might be interested in that someday, if that's the path for them.
So you're a highly successful teacher in Philly, and now you make your way back to Wisconsin. Talk to us about that journey, and then what all the way to how do we get the great experience of being able to utilize your leadership here in Roanoke Area School District.
Sure. So when I returned to the Midwest, I worked in several different school districts. Part of my work at that time was building out AVID programs. So AVID stands for Advancement via Individual Determination. We have a robust AVID program here in the Roanoke Area School District, but AVID is really about teaching students college and career readiness and opening those doors of opportunity for them. And so I got to work as a founding AVID teacher and coordinator, and ultimately took a role in building professional learning systems around what that could look like. From there, then I recognized that AVID had an opportunity to see beyond just what happened in a classroom, but school-wide systems. How could we, again, not make this specific to one class, but open up these opportunities to all students? And so that took me into school leadership and school improvement. So from there, I became a school improvement partner, and then ultimately a school leader myself, trying to work to reduce and diminish the barriers to access for our students through that capacity. But thrilled to be in the Roanoke Area School District today and doing the important work aligned with our equity framework.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And that's really important for our audience as we talk to our guests here, especially those that make such significant leadership moves within our district, that you understand their journey. Your journey often comes to light when key decisions are made that impact all of our students. They're really based off a lot of our life experiences. If you think about Amy and what she's articulated with her journey, while some of the decisions around advanced learning are difficult and they're well researched, you also see this through line of making sure there's equitable access for all of our students, and that's some of the things that you'll hear about today as we get deep into our topic of advanced learning itself. But thank you, Amy, for giving us that deep perspective that allows us to get us to the space where people understand, value, and appreciate the strong leadership moves that you make every single day. So with that, let's get into our topic of advanced learning. And so as you think about it in totality, how does the Roanoke School District approach advanced learning? How does it approach, deepen the district's commitment to educational excellence grounded in equity?
Mm-hmm. So here in the Roanoke Area School District, we believe that all students have unique identities and experiences that include their strengths, their interests, their talents, and those all deserve development. We recognize that some of those students, including those with advanced learning needs, may require additional supports to continually grow in those skills and in their capacity. And so when we think about advanced learning programming, we're thinking about it through the lens of a multi-level system of support, or MLSS, which we'll often talk about. To simplify that a bit, MLSS just means understanding what do all students need, what do some students need, and what do a few students need. And so as we do this work, we keep in mind our equity framework. We know that historically there have been times when the work of advanced learning or gifted and talented programs have only provided access to a few. And given our equity framework, we recognize the barriers that creates when only a few students have access. So our approach here in the Roanoke Area School District has been to think about how do we provide targeted supports for the some and the few, while also giving access to enrichment opportunities for all students who may be interested in developing their talents and strengths in a different way.
Excellent. And I desire that our listening audience, as you play this the first time and maybe go back and listen to it a second time, the last everything that Amy said has been important, but those last 2 minutes of our why behind this work and how on our approach, she really articulated so strongly. And it's really about ensuring that we extend opportunities to all of our students across the spectrum within the organization. And thinking about, yes, there are differing needs and different ways in which we approach that, but access is something that all students deserve, and it's in alignment with our equity framework. It is our responsibility to ensure that none of our systems get in the way or create barriers to the access that, which is the true value of public education. And so if you're in my age bracket, or maybe even recently as a decade ago, the familiar term or traditional term was gifted and talented programs, and it's sometimes still used. But can you talk a little bit about how does the Brownian School District approach differ from the gifted and talented models, and why is this language shift away from gifted and talented so important?
Mm-hmm. So we know just how important language is and how much language matters. And the idea of gifted and talented as a label for the program often puts an emphasis on the identification of students, which students are gifted, which students are talented, and there's often definitions for that. But the mindset then can be that it's focused on an exclusive group of students, and again, focused on identifying the students themselves as opposed to leaning into the actual programming. What sort of supports and options are we giving them to help develop in those different skills and talents? And so we've chosen the language of advanced learning as the title for our programming, because we intend to focus more on inclusivity and what those programming options are, as opposed to identifications and labels of a fixed group of students that's exclusive. So it's our goal to think about what are the opportunities, what are the supports that all students can access, as well as what do some or a few of our students really need to meet their specific advanced learning needs.
So if I was if I'm a parent and maybe I myself was identified as gifted and talented, or you have a tiered family where you may have a student that may have been used gifted and talented language in the past, but now we're using advanced learning. What are some of the key differences that you would like that parent to understand as being different in this approach?
Mm-hmm. I think it's that we are trying to help emphasize what are the students' needs and how do we match those needs with the specific support, and putting our energy into that, as opposed to putting our energy into defining a label for your student.
Got it.
Right. So what are the things that your student needs to continue growing, as opposed to what is the label that's in PowerSchool?
Perfect. Thank you so much for that. Mm-hmm. And leading into that a little bit deeper, what are some of the overall misconceptions around advanced learning that you've seen in years in education, and what are some things that we can clear up by listening to this podcast?
Yeah, I think that many people think about giftedness in terms of it looking a certain way. They often think about the student who might be on track to attend MIT or the straight A student, but it also could be a student who just has exceptional talent in music, or a student who can organize a community food drive, or a student who can express themselves through theater. There are actually 5 domains of giftedness, and of course there's specific academic areas, general, intellectual, but there's also leadership and creativity and visual and performing arts. And so recognizing the different ways that giftedness can look and the ways that our students can share their talents and strengths is a really important aspect of this work that sometimes gets overlooked.
Excellent. And along with those misconceptions, you know, how do we help deepen the understanding that when done correctly, which we are on this journey to, you know, we're never going to be perfect, but we are definitely getting better at you know, in our program each day, you know, in terms of how does this open up doors for students that may not have had access in the past?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think taking this mindset and approach of recognizing all of the different areas and valuing them equally, I think is an important way that we help students to see their skill sets and to build the agency around what might be a career path for them, what may be ways that they can best use their strengths and interests to support their longer-term goals. And so I think broadening the definition helps not only our community think about how we perceive these programs, but also helps students and their own confidence and their own identity building as well.
Excellent. And if you think about programming, or from a historical perspective program, you may have experienced or may have previously seen a model where a very small group of students are removed from a classroom and taken into a different space, and that was either, you know, advanced learning or gifted and talented, or whichever phrase we want to use. And to allow for more access and more experience and strengthening the whole class while giving the students the higher points of rigor that they need. We're using a push-in model. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the distinct differences between those two and how the push-in model benefits the students in the Verona Area School District?
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Clardy. I think that a push-in model really just speaks to the location of where the support is provided.
Yeah.
So as you named, and I think you said in a recent board meeting recently, when I was in school is one of the most dangerous phrases in education. So we often hear that. When I was in school, the special group went to the library and did this. But our push-in model is really meant to focus back on that idea of inclusivity that we pride ourselves on with our equity framework. Students can still be in the classroom setting with peers that are performing at similar levels and can collaborate on challenging problems, have access to their classroom teacher. We have additional roles this year called MLSS specialists that also come in and support our students with some of their learning, but they can be in the classroom setting as part of the classroom community. This allows other students to have access to that group. Maybe there's a student who's very excited and very confident in their ability with fractions. And so for the fraction unit, they want to join this group. They have the ability to do that. And we've continued to make these groups and these opportunities accessible to all students while also targeting the very specific needs of those students who have demonstrated those advanced learning needs as well.
Absolutely. And you touched on it a bit, but I think sometimes when we hear additional dialogue around the push-in model, there's a wondering of how the staff in the space can navigate the time of work. Can you talk about how we prepared staff members to be highly effective in the push-in model and how it actually strengthens their instructional approach?
Yeah. So this year in our elementary sites from third through fifth grade, we've taken students, we've reviewed some of their data. So how they've done in classrooms, how they performed on standardized tests, and what trends we're seeing in their performance over time. And we've actually clustered some students together so they have academic peers in their class. We understand the importance of collaboration and then being able to work together. And so in those classrooms, we worked with those teachers to provide professional learning. So last summer, we had a group that had access to some additional professional learning to think through what are the specific needs of students that might have a certain data profile, and what are the ways that I can support them? What are my instructional moves to do so? So we provided some professional learning for the classroom teachers, and then we also have designated roles this year across several elementary sites called MLSS specialists that are then pushing in and joining those math groups several times per week to check in on students, see how they are progressing, and continuing to engage in the deep critical thinking that we're expecting of them.
And as part of that, we also get immediate feedback from our students.
Correct.
In terms of, you know, that the student agency is there, if there are things that that we need to be aware of to strengthen the progress, you know, that's, we are a culture that believes firmly in student agency and are able to make those adjustments while still holding on to our philosophical approach of the push-in model.
Yeah, most definitely.
So, you know, one of the things we pride ourselves on, many things we pride ourselves on in the Verona Area School District is collaboration and two-way communication. And, you know, families definitely play a role in that, and that is not limited to our work with advanced learning. So, knowing that you've created an advanced learning family advisory, and with the first few meetings and the feedback, how has it informed things like communication, and how has it enhanced our work here around advanced learning?
So, our advanced learning family advisory actually came out of some of our family climate survey data. I know our family experience survey is coming up soon, so this was a direct result of feedback we got through that survey and families asking for more transparency around this programming. And so last spring, we put together a family advisory. We are thrilled to have representation from each of our K-8 sites. And together we have met to think through what is the current state of advanced learning programming in our district, and where do we want to go from here. Last spring, we were excited to have Mark Schwingel, who is our DPI consultant from the Department of Public Instruction, join us to talk about how advanced learning looks across the state, how it might look here in the Verona Area School District. Our most recent meeting this fall, families actually got to engage with some of the resources that their students are using in their elementary and middle school math classes. So, wonderful opportunity for families to sit with others and really work through those problems. I think it was eye-opening to see there were no quick, easy answers, but really allowed for some productive struggle, and the depth and entry points for their students was really affirming and reassuring for them. The other piece that our family advisory has been critical in is helping inform some of our next steps. So we did get feedback from our family advisory last spring that they felt as though the information about advanced learning programming was not easily accessible for all.
Yes.
So since then, we've built an advanced learning website that is now live on the VASD website. We have also taken the opportunity for families to help us think through where do we go next. So we've really leaned into math first, but at our last meeting asked families for further feedback about where they wanted us to put our next efforts in making sure that we had really robust programming options for all students, but also for students demonstrating advanced learning needs.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And, you know, what I'm really proud of, I'm proud of a lot of things you do, Amy. So I'm going to celebrate you because I just think you're a value add to our district and a value add to our students, definitely. But your ability to be very flexible in understanding and getting feedback, making the necessary adjustment based off that feedback, having very solid action steps so our families know that their perspective matters, and when we can do things to improve our systems and show the value of their voice, you take that seriously. We all take it seriously and make sure that we are moving forward. So as we close with our last question, and that's really about looking ahead, what's the future bring for advanced learning in our district? And think about our priorities across all domains, which are academic, creative, leadership, and the arts. How will VSD continue to evaluate and make sure that we continue this journey for equitable access?
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dr. C. So I think that when we think about our advanced learning work, we actually have an advanced learning team. Again, similar to the family advisory, we have representation from all of our K-8 neighborhood sites as well as our charter schools. And that team has several goals this year. One is to, as you named, evaluate the current system. Is it working? We've put supports in place. How are they actually meeting student needs? What are we seeing in terms of student performance? What are we hearing from students? What are we hearing from families about that experience? And what adjustments do we need to make so we can continue to make sure that the programming we're offering is indeed meeting the goals that we've set out? The next goal that the team has is really continuing to build out the criteria and supports for some of those additional domains. And we got feedback from the family advisory, language arts, and leadership were two of the areas that families felt would be a next step for us. And so our team will be looking at what currently exists in our schools as well as in our community for supports for students so that we can more clearly articulate those ideas. And then we'll also be working to support educators. How can we make sure that educators continue to understand the needs of students and pair them with the right opportunities so they can continue growing and strengthening in their interest areas as well? Family partnership goes right along with that, making sure our families feel as though they have the information they need for their students to be successful. So lots of work ahead.
Excellent. It's the right work, and I'm so glad that you're leading that work for us. It's just been an amazing journey. And so, Amy, we really want to thank you for coming on the show today. Your second time in doing a podcast, and this will be one of many, as you will probably bring you on once a month as we continue our journey and letting the audience know we get to see every single day, which is the expertise that you bring to the craft. So get used to hearing the voice of Amy Engelkins as it'll be podcast by Amy pretty soon, coming up in the near future. With that, well, we're going to close our podcast today. Thank you to our guests, and back to Marcy.
All right. I echo Dr. Clarity in thanking you, Amy, for being a guest today and helping our families and listeners understand a little bit more about advanced learning. Amy had mentioned a website. If you're interested in checking that out, you can go to the school district's website at vasd.k12 and type advanced learning in the search, and you will find that page. Otherwise, you can go to www.verona.k12.wi.us/departments/academic-services/advanced-learning. Probably faster to just go to the site and plug it into the search, and you will find information, and we are happy to also address any questions you might have. So with that, we will sign off for today. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time on In the Loop with the Soup. We'll be right back.